Soccer broadcasting in America is booming. MLS just finished the first year of a 10-year, $2.5 billion deal with Apple TV+, and throw in Lionel Messi as well.
Messi!
The second-tier league, USL, has a new deal that includes some games on CBS and other outlets. The top women's league, the NWSL, has a new TV deal that puts its games on network TV and other outlets as well. The world's game is increasingly America's game. The delivery, at least in this realm, has kind of been turned on its head. Some of us remember when it was a new thing to go out into the world and bring international sports back to the U.S.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat. The human drama of athletic competition. This is ABC's Wide World of Sports.
Here in the 21st century, most of the MLS games are streaming. Increasingly, the games the American companies bring in from Europe and South America are delivered that way as well. So many games, USL, NWSL, college, are produced remotely. That means the camera, audio, facilities people are on site, but not the announcers or the directors. In this little world of soccer delivery, the keywords are remote integration, commonly known as REMI. The biggest player in this game is a Florida company, Vista WorldLink, sometimes producing 8 or 10 games a day from its Fort Lauderdale studios, of which they have 20, with producers, announcers, directors often working more than one game a day.
If you're doing a 2 o'clock game, you might also be producing or announcing an 8 o'clock game. And I think that's another major difference of when we do REMI here, you know, because you don't have to travel. You just have to prepare as if you're going to do more than one game on a day and certainly more than one game on a weekend. So there's definitely some efficiency.
That's longtime soccer broadcasting executive Michael Cohen, who's been with USL for about 8 years and before that with Major League Soccer, way back to its earliest days.
Scared Ali Hadjic, but maybe one more chance here for Union Omaha. Kamitani, Akoff, centering pass, shot is in! Omaha scores! The substitute, Alex Touche! 122 minutes on the clock! It's 2-2!
Josh Eastern says he's done play-by-play for more than 200 games in 2023, and even more than that the year before.
Not to get all business on you, but it's a cheaper business model. I mean, everything in one place. You can do multiple games. Like I do multiple games a night all the time. And I just think that's kind of the way it's going to go when networks and others are looking to kind of cut costs. This is a way where you can cut costs, be at home, do the game. I mean, it's so fun to go to the games, and I miss going to all the games, but got to make a living somehow. And I've enjoyed making a living this way.
If the idea is, do we produce 25% of the game and be in the stadium, we produce 100% of the games and get them on the air. I think everyone would agree for the fan purposes on promotion of the league and the teams, you got to get every game produced and you got to do anything you can.
Front of a television monitor, hundreds or thousands of miles away from the game action. Joe Malfa, who's done more than 150 games in 23, says it's a bit easier to learn how to work in the studio if you didn't have a long career doing games only in a stadium.
It's almost like trying to teach a language to a 10-year-old versus teaching a language to a 30-year-old. You obviously pick up the language quicker when you're younger and you're new to it. So I think because I didn't have that 2, 3, 4 years of being entrenched and calling from a stadium, it didn't take long for me to pick up. And I think soccer, of all the sports, lends itself best to being able to do that.
King from the corner to the back post and knocked in! The equalizer for OL Reign. It's the substitute, Olivia Athens.
You just call what's on the screen. I mean, you don't know what's going on off the screen, and neither do your viewers, because they're watching the same thing you are. So as long as you can describe what's going on, you can get a good sense of what the pictures are telling you, and you can convey that to an audience. I think that's the most important thing.
Josh Eastern, Joe Malfa, and a few dozen other announcers, producers, and directors have grown up on and grown into this mode of delivery. Ricky Lopez-Espin is a former MLS player, now a color analyst. He, like others, has done games at Vista and in the stadium.
But when it switched that I was able to do my first game in person, for me, the energy from the fans, I had to temper that in because I got so caught up in it with 17,000 people screaming. So I had to look at, I had to reel it back in and kind of have that balance. So that was the biggest difference for me, the energy, and also obviously the angles that you get from a modern sitting in an air conditioning booth about a couple thousand miles away from where the field's playing.
Campbell on the left foot. Joel Campbell floats it back post. Header goalward, now in! Gerson Torres, his first goal for the Ticos, and it might be a winner in the 95th minute.
It's interesting because I don't know anything but that. Where if you were to ask that question to somebody who's maybe 10 years older, who had only called games in stadiums and then transitioned to a minor, it would have been a stark difference. For me, I had maybe the few dozen games I'd done in person in college and then went straight into calling off a monitor. So for me, I guess it wasn't as stark of a reality shift in the first place.
Among those who work regularly at Vista is Mike Watts, an Ohio native who was first noticed by Michael Cohen while he was still a student at Fordham. We chatted in October before Watts embarked on a week that saw him do two international games Tuesday in Fort Lauderdale, a USL game there on Wednesday, back to New York to do an SEC game from his spare bedroom, on a plane to Dallas to do the Saturday Texas-Oklahoma game, that one on Westwood One Radio, then to Baton Rouge for an SEC game at LSU, and back home to New York to start the cycle all over again.
No, I mean, if you do the math, I did, you know, 252 last year. I'm on pace for about 235 this year. I mean, you divide broadcast by days, you're talking 4.5 to 5 games a week over the course of the year. And naturally, there are some weeks that are a little lighter than 4 games. And there's actually some weeks where it's heavier than that.
Is there something really magical here for San Diego? Corona through, out to Hackworth. Hackworth chipping, Conway, save, foul up is in! Oh, he's done it again! Nalani the winner!
Mike Watts has been the lead announcer for USL games since he was just out of college. He and other young announcers are really the first generation that really has an opportunity to make a living doing only soccer.
Yeah, it's been an explosion. I've been really fortunate to never have to question how I was going to pay rent doing soccer since I was 23 years old. And I probably am the first generation where that was honestly the case.
Soccer announcer Mike Watts, and this is Joe Malfa. Do you think that you can make a long-term living doing only soccer?
I would have probably said no to that a couple of years ago, honestly. If you would have asked, like, based on the current situation, TV deals, this, that, and the other thing, now I'd probably say yes, and you'd be hard-pressed not to.
Born in the 90s, born at a time when soccer was increasingly on television and available in so many ways to so many people.
To be able to do this and make a living off of calling games is, I mean, beyond my wildest dreams. Like, when I would sit down and play Madden when I was a kid and, like, start broadcasting that, I was like, one day I want to get paid to do this, and now I get paid to do this. So that's how I look at it, and I love it when I mean, there's nights when I don't have a game, and I'm like, damn, I wish I had a game tonight.
That's Josh Eastern. Here again is Mike Watts.
It used to be 20 years ago, it was your one local MLS guy, and maybe they made enough to make it their career, but they probably had another or two other or three other jobs, and your couple of national guys. And that was really it in this country.
Soccer broadcasting may finally be a business that not only has dreamers, but plenty of ways to reward them as well. I'm John Schrader.